Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. To a world that continues to discuss, to debate, and dispute the Savior, the angel's announcement from the open tomb tells us God's glorious message. Jesus has conquered sin, death, and the devil. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Please be seated. People like talking about other people. Sometimes they are flattering. Sometimes they are honest. But most of the time they seem to get pleasure out of pointing out the failures and the shortcomings of others. Let me share a story that illustrates the point. President Ulysses S. Grant once was on his way to attend a dinner reception being offered in his honor. As he went, it began to rain, and Grant opened his umbrella. When he came across a stranger who seemed to be going the same way he was, he offered to share his umbrella with the man. As they walked, they talked about this and that, and eventually they found out that both of them were going to the same banquet. It was then that the stranger confessed that he was only going to the banquet out of curiosity. Lowering his voice, the man said, "Between us, I have always thought that President Grant was a much overrated man." To which the unrecognized president replied, "That is my view also. We enjoy talking about others all the time." Name a recent president, and most people have an opinion about him. We have opinions on the garbage collector, the children's teachers, the preacher in the pulpit, the auto mechanic, and the door neighbor, and the checkout person at the grocery store. We have opinions that we are not afraid to say what we think, unless, of course, we believe the individual we are talking about might overhear us, or a person hearing us might tell on us. We definitely do not want anyone to talk badly about us. Over 500 years ago, Martin Luther said, "It is a common evil plague that everyone prefers hearing evil to good about his neighbor. And we cannot stand that anyone should say anything bad about us." Luther knew we like to talk about others, don't we? If we are prepared to have an opinion and talk about all the regular, normal people around us, it would be surprising if we did not have an opinion and be prepared to talk about Jesus Christ. How could we ignore the most important person in history? The life of Jesus, his birth, his suffering, his death, his resurrection is the turning point for all of history. Jesus stands alone. Jesus is unique. Jesus is one of a kind. More than anyone else, Jesus is the exceptional, extraordinary person who has changed the way the world thinks, the way humanity lives, and he alone is the way to forgiveness, and he alone is the way to eternal life. Yes, everyone in our age has an opinion about Jesus. It's no different than when Jesus walked around here on earth. The opinions of the people around him went all the way from love to hate, from honor to humiliation. Listen to the names Jesus was called during his short life, 3-year period of ministry. He was labeled Lamb of God, the Carpenter's Son. He was called a teacher, a devil, a deceiver, a sinner, the Savior. He was considered to be a wine drinker, possessed by the devil, a blasphemer, and the Christ, the Son of the living God. That last label, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, was what one of Jesus' disciples, Simon Peter, said to him one day. Jesus asked, "Who do people say that I am?" You see, Jesus had taken his closest followers, his disciples, to the city of Caesarea Philippi. It was the headquarters of the Roman ruler and the headquarters of the troops who enforced the rule in Judea. Caesarea Philippi was not a comfortable location for a God-fearing man who considered himself or himself to be a direct descendant from the father Abraham. Everything that the Jewish people had been taught to avoid, everything that they were supposed to hate, had a good representation in Caesarea Philippi. This was a party town, a heathen town, a place that boasted 14 temples to Baal, one temple for Caesar, and a cave the local people proudly pointed out to tourists as being the birthplace of the Greek god of nature called Pan. It was here, surrounded by all these visible forces of Satan, that Jesus asks, "What do people say about me? Who do they say that I am?" You can almost hear the disciples, who know the right answer, eagerly reply, "Well, some say you are Elijah." Another disciple declared, "I have heard some say that you are Jeremiah." One of the other disciples chimes in, "One of the prophets." Boy, they were on a roll, and they probably could have come up with a long list. But you see, they didn't tell Jesus anything new. He had heard most of those names, and also some to be less complimentary ones. Having heard all their answers, Jesus now got personal, and he asked, "But who do you say that I am?" I think it probably got quiet for a second. Elsewhere in the New Testament, the disciples showed that they thought Jesus was going to restore Israel to its position of greatness and power and majesty among all the nations of the world. Certainly, the disciples knew Jesus was a great teacher, and on occasion, he had shown himself to be the healer of people that were sick. But his question, "Who do you think that I am?" put them on the spot. Then Peter, the disciple who often rushes in with an answer, rightly responds with the answer that was given to him by the Holy Spirit. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Soon Peter and the other disciples would see exactly what it meant for Jesus to be God's Son, the promised Redeemer. They would see Jesus live out his days, fulfilling the laws that they and the rest of humanity had broken. They would see Jesus as God's Son, the substitute for all of our failings and our sins. They would see their innocent Lord arrested, so that those who follow him might be free for all of eternity. As the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus would be found guilty, so that on Judgment Day, all who believe in him would be declared innocent. He would also die so that we might live he would also rise to show the world that death has been defeated. Years later, St. Paul would tell what Jesus had done for us when he wrote these words. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, Jesus asks you, who do you think that I am? We like to talk about people, don't we? You know we do. Well then, what do you think about Jesus? Now there are only three answers that you can answer. And two of them are very ancient answers, and one of them is very modern. The two ancient ways are very simple. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you are led to faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you reject him and say he was just an ordinary man. That is easy to understand. Because you see, in Jesus' day, many of the priests who had major interests in religion rejected him. Many of the political activists looking for a political deliverer also wanted nothing to do with him. The Roman government, which by then had proclaimed its emperors to be living gods, wanted no competition at all from the Prince of Peace. Other religions, such as those who worshiped Diana in Ephesus, found their income and their authority being reduced by the Savior. All of these opposed Jesus and his work of buying people back from sin, death, and the devil. They were wrong in opposing Jesus. On the other hand, there were those who, having searched for the solution to life's questions and life's problems, found their answers in the risen Savior. Jesus said that would happen. He had said that when he had come to seek and to save the lost, to be the light of the world for those wandering blindlessly in darkness, to be a physician for those who were ill in their souls. Back then, even today, faith in Jesus says to all who believe that death does not have the last word. Faith in Jesus says there is forgiveness from sin, and that with that forgiveness, there is a new eternal life of joy with Jesus that awaits them in heaven. Today, this day, what is the emptiness within you? What is the loss you are experiencing? The worry that never seems to work itself out? Jesus can help. He can solve your problem. He can bring you through your problem, or he can help you carry your problem. In him and from him is a power and a peace that nothing at all in this world can provide. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Little wonder that those who have seen his suffering and death upon the cross, those who have looked into the empty tomb, were ready to talk about him. Not surprising that the story of the Savior swept through the world like a wildfire. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is God's good news of great joy. But earlier I said that there were three ways, and now I want to share with you a third way, another way people see and talk about Jesus. It's the modern way. And it begins with one simple thought. People are not sinners. That's it. People are not sinners, they think. Many people have believed that idea. It did not make any difference that the TV news said that there were still wars and rapes, murders, thefts, road rage, and drive-by shootings. It did not matter that the paper still talked about divorces and drugs, gluttony, and greed. It did not matter that these people found themselves just as despondent and depressed and discouraged and doubtful as they had ever been. They believe they are not sinners. They wander around, still lonely and still lost, anxious and also afraid. But they believe that has nothing to do with sin. If you don't think you sin, you don't think you need a Savior. And as a result, our generation has decided that, you know, Jesus is great. He is great, but he's a good guy, but he is not the Christ, the Son of the living God. They think that Jesus is a very fine fellow, a profound philosopher, a trustworthy teacher, a social activist, but he is not their Savior. I am here to tell you, if you believe that, that is not true. Jesus is either who he says he is, the Savior of God that came into the world to save sinners from sin, death, and damnation, or he is not. You cannot pick and choose. Jesus is the Son of God who died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. And now the Bible tells us that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. God, the Holy Spirit, comes to us and he puts this faith in our heart. Just as Peter proclaimed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And through faith in Jesus Christ, there is eternal life to anyone who believes in him. You recall on Good Friday, Jesus died with criminals on either side of him. The one criminal, the Bible tells us, made fun of him. "If you are the Son of God, get us down off this cross. Save us." The other criminal said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus looked at that thief and he said to him, "Today, you are in paradise with me." Those words must have been very, very comforting to that dying thief. Yes, he died on the cross, but through faith in Jesus Christ, he knew that he would be in paradise with Jesus forever. We too have our Savior coming to us through his word, through our sacraments, and coming to us and say to us, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other. Through faith in me, you also can have eternal life." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.